Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC, Friday morning edition, 11 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue, joined today on a slightly lighter panel than usual. We have Rosemary Armijo, as is usual.
I wish I were lighter.
Oh, you're fine. Alan Shartok, who's got to be pushing 112 pounds now, so...
No, I'm up a couple now. I have to get down to my fighting weight of 129.
Why?
Because... That's the way to stay healthy.
Okay.
Live forever.
Fair enough.
And your back?
Back's fine. Better, the less weight you carry around, the better
that's
your
right,
back
that's
is.
Right.
Everybody knows that.
It's true. And we're down a third member of the panel today, but about halfway through, we'll welcome Ian Pickus, and we'll talk about some stuff. If you want to email us, we would love to have you be the third panelist, as long as it's brief. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Alan will read from your email messages throughout the program.
Indeed.
It's Friday. It's beautiful. I can't wait to clean gutters.
Yeah, and I'm very concerned because of, you know, I have no fingernails left because we're getting so close on the big challenge.
On the lockbox.
The lockbox. We're getting so close.
Where are we now?
We think we're going to have Megan come in and give us the final figure, but we've got 70-something thousand dollars to go.
And remember, we have to do that before the on-air drive kicks
without
off.
Question. Or we lose the 25,000. Why can't I convince anybody that this is absolutely so, and that another 5,000 came in from our friend Alan Sagner, and he said, you don't make the 25, you don't get my 5,000.
Okay, so we have to hit the 300,000 point before the start of the drive, which is a week from Monday at 6.
Oh, this is really getting close. It's a nail biter, but we are moving fast now. We're moving fast. It's getting better. And folks, if you can do anything now, WAMC.org or 1-800-323-9262. Again, 1-800-323-9262, extension 0. That'll do it.
Fair enough. And I had mentioned doing the gutters and various projects I have in store, which is not a great way to spend a beautiful weekend.
Yeah.
What do you have going on, Rosemary?
I'm
going
to go hear a concert in Massachusetts.
Where are you going?
Amherst. It's for
Amherst.
Yeah. It's a concert to raise money for children in Baghdad.
So. Oh, nice!
Wow. Interesting.
That's nice. You know, it's interesting. It's so interesting because I'm going myself to hear Sally Jane Hyde at the Guthrie Center.
You said that like Jerry Lewis.
Yeah. And, I'm trying to figure. And she is a wonderful, wonderful performer. And she has this great vaudeville group of people coming to the Guthrie Center as a total fundraiser for the Guthrie Center. You may remember the Berkshire Ramblers.
Sure. How was that gig?
Right.
Same
thing.
Was that a good gig?
That was a great gig. Yeah. Sold it out. And I hope she'll sell it out. And I think she might. And that's Saturday night at the Guthrie Center.
Where is that?
In Great Barrington, very close, walking distance of my house, 413-528-1955, I think. Check it first.
You might want to search that number out before you randomly call numbers that Alan gives you. The only one he really knows is the fund drive number. And
I'm not sure of that.
We'll be hearing that quite a bit a week from Monday.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that
there was...
coming up. Oof.
Yeah. Are you going to volunteer as you usually don't?
I'm thinking.
Liar.
I have a great idea. I was riding around the car. I haven't told anybody this, but my idea is that we get our two wonderful women panelists, and we give them a time to raise some money, see how they do. If they're good, keep them. You know, like that wonderful 1 o'clock spot we have, Ray.
Wait a minute. You're holding Libby and Rosemary hostage. This is your idea.
Yeah.
It would be kind of interesting.
Yeah, see what happens.
We don't get to keep a take of that or anything. That's not how that works. Huh?
No, you can. No, you can. You can keep a tape afterwards.
No, not a tape. I think she wants a cut. I think that's what she's talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, no cuts. None of us get cuts.
All right. Well, I think this is a disturbing idea that you have, and let's bring it to a meeting later on.
We'll bring it to a meeting. What are there? 11 people in the meeting, and then there's me.
Yeah.
So that's 12 votes for me, 11 for them.
Right you are. All right. In the news yesterday, it seemed to happen very quickly. I don't know how it happened behind the scenes, but in the morning, breaking news, Eric Holder to resign. By the end of the day, the announcement was made. Now, he says he won't leave his position as U.S. Attorney General until his replacement is confirmed, but already the fight is set up over a possible successor for U.S. Attorney General. This was a bombshell.
Well, there are a couple of things here. First of all, remember that they've got to get whoever they're putting up through the Senate. So, and that could be very tough. I think they can do it. But my favorite guy, of course, and I think everybody else is, so that I know, is of course the former assistant attorney general who is now the governor of Massachusetts, Deval Patrick.
Will be out of a job soon enough.
Yes, and he says, "Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to stay there." He's told me that personally. Yeah. He told me that, you know, he wants to go into private sector for a little while anyway. He hasn't said no to a presidential run. And if you think about it, he's a very good friend of Obama's, by the way. And if you think about it, you know, if you want to be president, this is no time to go shore up the Obama administration, I suspect. But he does. He's been very honest about that. He doesn't like to work for other people, he said. He wants to work for himself.
Well,
yeah.
He said the timing. I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
he said the timing was wrong on this.
Yeah.
Is that because of wanting to finish out the term?
It is. He wants to finish out the term as governor. He says he's talked to the president about this a number of times. They're very good friends, and they've discussed where he can be of best service. The holder is given lots of credit for his work in civil rights. Here's Deval Patrick, who had been former assistant attorney general for civil rights. He knows his stuff.
And if the president calls,
it's hard to say no.
It's hard to say no.
I agree with you.
Republicans who voted for Holder in large measure sort of have perhaps buyer's remorse over Benghazi, over the IRS scandal, and some of the other things. It may not be an easy sell for the next candidate.
Well, that's a nice way to put it, Ray. I don't agree with that. I think they may have know that everybody gets a shot in the beginning. You approve the president's people, but they're coming up to a presidential election. They're going to make as much trouble as they possibly can, and they're going to do things like you just mentioned Benghazi. They're going to start manufacturing issues that they can and repeat it over and over and over again. Propaganda 101, and that's what they're going to do. Rosemary,
but I want to go back to the timing of this because. You're right. It was a bombshell. We were reassured all day. Oh, this was in the works. He said he was going to leave. Why is he leaving before the midterm elections? Isn't that a problem?
Well, if they don't have a successor.
No, he'll still be there, but he's now a lame duck. He's proclaimed himself to be a lame duck.
What's your theory?
I can't figure it.
No, by raising the question, you've already figured it.
I have looked at it. I mean, yeah. Ferguson, he's in the midst of that huge case. I think he's had one headache after another. I don't love him, by the way. I mean, I would like to point out that he has prosecuted more whistleblowers and journalists and people who leak news, important news, and get it out than anyone. He took reporters' records without a subpoena. He's done some things that were not great. He also authorized the killing of civilians without prior consent. That he's expanded horrible powers of this government. So he's not the perfect guy, but he was very close with the president, and he did many things that were important. His record on criminal justice and fighting against encroachment on voter rights has been great. So why is he leaving now? Does that hurt the president?
Well, there are many questions, Rosemary, one of which we have to take a break, right?
We'll take a break in a moment. You can finish your questions.
I'm thinking that I want to answer Rosemary on the security issue. Look, let's face it, the American people want to be kept safe. Now, Rosemary is perfectly correct in her role as an advocate for the press to say the press should be denied nothing. Nobody should, you know, I mean,
I First Amendment in the Constitution.
Yeah, I understand. I subscribe to that, too. On the other hand, I also know that the American people want to know what they can about being kept safe. You know, you have a group that says we're going to kill people in the subways. You know, there's always a balancing that goes on in this. You know what I mean?
I do. And we have another story later on, which is pretty interesting. Yeah.
That's
about
right.
Getting into cell records.
Dramatic foreshadowing. Yes, indeed. But
that my point here is that he has had it's very interesting and meaty time in the Attorney General's office. He is widely regarded. He's very close to the president. Say he had said he was going to leave. Why right now? Why not announce it the day after the elections? Doesn't this muddy the waters?
It, it, may, but on the other hand, you're hearing it over and over again, as you said, that he announced a long time ago that he was going to leave after 6 years.
And it's fairly common for that to happen halfway through the second term.
Yeah.
Timing, it seemed very quick yesterday. One of the names in the New York Times article on possible successors, though, I thought was humorous from a New York state of mind. Preet Bharara is one of the...
Yeah, that would be good news for Mr. Cuomo.
Well, don't go so fast on that one. Remember that Preet Bharara was chief of staff or chief counsel for Chuck Schumer. Mm-hmm. And Chuck Schumer is the second most important person in the Democratic majority in the United States Senate. So I think that might be a very good appointment if you want to get somebody through.
Okay. Let's take a break here. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. Back in a flash.
Support for WAMC comes from Rhinebeck Kitchen and Bath, with locations in Rhinebeck and Coxsackie, offering design, project management, and installation throughout the Hudson Valley since 1997, RhinebeckKitchenAndBath.com. And Capital Region Honda Dealers, with locations in New York, Vermont, and Massachusetts, offering new and pre-owned Hondas, CapitalRegionHondaDealers.com.
By the way, our musical interludes have been today and will be all this hour from Menta Clara's album Wanderlust, and they will be at the Kunin Hackett Arts Center in Poughkeepsie tonight at 7:30. For more information, you can visit our website or Kunin, I hope I'm saying that right, CUNNEEN-Hackett.org. And it's the Roundtable on WAMC. Rosemary Armeo is here. Alan Shartok.
Yo.
Ray Graff in for Joe, and you at home, roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. Before we switch gears here, Alan, anything on the email box?
Oh, so far? Yes, there's something. Yes, as Jack Benny would say, yes.
Yes.
Rich says he wants to point out to the roundtable.
Okay.
Off topic a little bit.
Oh, really?
That Sullivan County needs casinos, and they are a shambles economically. Why can't New York State vote on which operator should put the casinos in place? Massachusetts did. And that's the difference between Massachusetts, where I live, and New York State. Massachusetts democracy is a lot more direct in terms of town meetings, everything else, than New York State is, where the IPP or the incumbent protection plan exists.
But in the case of casinos, it is a more muddled situation because here you have it approved. In New York, you have it approved through constitutional amendment, which takes a lot longer and is a lot more permanent, let's say, or at least more difficult to change. In the case of Massachusetts, you have license awarded for Springfield, already the wheels in motion in Boston, and now you have an election where suddenly casinos may not be legal after all.
Yeah, buyer's remorse.
Yeah.
So people who voted for it now may say, yeah, you know, I didn't realize it was going to come close to where I live or the rest of it.
It's
affecting Western Massachusetts or, you know, a lot of the rational arguments against it, which include, you know, poor people suffering as a result of this and other things are involved in this. Mm. But anyway, okay, so now we got a couple of other letters.
All right, sir.
Walker says, Holder's announcement was no surprise to those who read interview pieces. He wanted to choose the when. It is no doubt been timed this way for a reason. Okay.
And, I agree with that.
I agree with that. I just don't know what the reason is.
One, Ferguson and other cases put him in the limelight. He and the president really do want to make progress on civil rights. And then this announcement will keep these efforts in the public mind, including Democrats who need to coalesce. This gives them time before the midterms. Two of the other reasons why the timing is right is because the Republicans will have, in capital S, HAVE, to approve the president's nominee in order to get rid of the attorney general. No, one doesn't. He's got the horse in the cart a little bit backwards. Yeah.
What do you mean?
Well, he's not leaving until, Holder's not leaving until,
right.
But I think what happens here is that they're not, I don't think the Republicans are out to help the president in any way.
Here's the question.
Sure.
Why is it common that these people leave in the middle of the second term? Why is it that 6 years is as much as
that's
you can
a great
stand
question.
Well,
we
would not think to leave 6 years
of
after
reasons.
Our jobs go.
There are a lot of reasons. One of them is you want to make money on the outside. it's a good time to go.
But you'll still make money.
You can still make money, but if you go under these circumstances, you're still hot, you still have the connections to the presidency, and some big law firm may just scoop you right up and say, okay, senior managing partner or something like that, or and so you get to maybe collect on what you've done. Or maybe you're just plain tired.
That was the Hillary excuse. Of course, we didn't give her that benefit of a doubt. She was obviously getting out to get ready to run.
I think that there was an agreement. My bet always has been. I know nothing, but my bet always was that she was given a choice. You know, stay in.
Yeah.
And don't run for president, or go and do what you need to
go
do.
Go on your own.
That's very frequently done in political office.
How about Sarah Palin leaving her governorship?
You're right, right. I mean, that's a whole other story. She was so disrespected. I mean, okay, let's
still
go to some other.
Oh, you got another letter? I was going to say that the timing, as brought up by one of our correspondents here,
writers.
Probably was known, and probably there's a reason for it. But yet, what it does is, and the New York Times brings this out in their article by Michael Shear, it brings to fore all of those points the Republicans have been hammering and have sort of let go.
Right.
Benghazi, IRS, the president using executive actions, all of those now back in sharp focus. So I'm wondering what the president's administration is saying is the grand idea behind the timing of this, when it seems like it's going to bring all these things back onto the front burner.
Yeah.
But there are some more letters, one of which is quite critical of me. I think Rosemary is absolutely correct to criticize Eric Holder and the president. I also think that Alan is emotionally tied to Obama, not totally unbiased. Marguerite says, I think President Obama wants the Senate Majority Congress to approve the new AG. And we did that. And let's see. Okay. And
maybe.
And Anna says, please address the murder of John Crawford and the continued brutality of black Americans. New videos this week of a pregnant woman in New York City, as well as another shooting caught on video, and that's from Anna. And Ryan says, it is worth noting that the Civil War Times just released an article explaining Lincoln was extremely repressive when it comes to the First Amendment. I don't know when we should sacrifice the First Amendment for the sake of protection, but I do understand why it is necessary at times.
And yeah, Civil War, I grant you, the country's split in half. I would say that's one of those times.
Great timing for that letter, because coming up in the 10 o'clock hour, we have our Ideas Matter segment and an interview about the Civil War and why it still
resonates.
Exactly. So we'll talk about that next hour.
Like the thing on the back of my banjo, resonator. And Andrew says, obviously he's leaving now so that a successor can be confirmed during the lame duck session before potential Republican control of the Senate. And I think that's it.
He should have left earlier.
The problem is I'm reading from this list.
Yeah, you did great.
And then what happens is, you know, you got to read at the same time.
As you're editing.
You're editing.
You do a great job. We're very proud of what you've done. Roundtable@WAMC.org. Roundtable@WAMC.org. We'll break for news. We'll talk Derek Jeter and some other stuff coming up. Welcome back, friends, to the Roundtable. It's 9:36 on a Friday morning. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Rosemary Armeo is here. Alan Shartok is here. And Alan, the email address, of course, is roundtable@wamc.org. One of the things you like to do is read some of those email.
Oh, indeed. Messages. We love that. And that's part of what we do that nobody else really does.
Interactive, you know.
Yeah, it's great.
So what do you got?
Okay, what do you got there? From Tom, our regular correspondent, Tom. Money should not be a consideration when leaving government service, and it shouldn't be legal for 2 years. Well, there are always ways around it, Tom. You know, in other words, you're not supposed to participate in something you may have been doing, and I think there are those laws. You know, okay, I'm just here advising, or I'll take cases that are related to other things. But look at it this way. Let's say, and I'm not talking about Eric Holder, because I like him a lot, but let's just say you're up there, and you get to a firm. Trust me, even if you're handling nothing that goes before the government, the money comes pouring in for your other partners. And you are what they call a rainmaker. So there really is no way, you know, to sort of stop that thing.
Also, this is America. You should be free to earn a living.
Well, you see, there are those of us who don't fully agree with that, Ray.
So you should not be free to earn a living?
No, you should be free to earn a living, but you shouldn't be taking advantage of your position.
Well, I think that there are rules to keep that away, but what I'm saying is wait 2 years after you get... I mean, some of these people in public office would make a lot more in the private sector, and they've already sacrificed income by working for us.
Well, that is the most Pollyannish thing I have ever heard.
All right, well, let's move on.
I certainly do not agree with it, and it's exactly what those legislators are always throwing at us.
I'm doing my best to mix it up.
We're making $100,000 a year, and we're doing it out of our sufferance, but please.
You don't think Eric Holder would be making a lot more in the private sector?
I know he would.
Okay.
But it's a choice he made.
That's
the president
fine.
Of the United States.
And it's a noble choice.
The president of the United States doesn't make that much money.
Right.
I'll get it all back in speaking fees the minute he leaves office.
Well, sure.
Yeah. Except for Clinton, who had a heck of a time. They had a tough, rough time there where they had no money. And
let's talk about a class of person who makes no money at all and does it for the love of the game only.
Oh, you see, you're trying to segue
Policy
into the next
that.
Segment, but I think Alan has more letters first, and then you can hold that thought.
Okay.
What else you got?
Well, there's something, but I can't quite decipher it. Maybe you can all help me, from Matthew. I'm not sure if she touched on this yesterday when it was burning in information security circles, but the vulnerability called Black Shell will have a much larger impact on systems than Heartbleed due to the possibility.
It's a new virus. Or a new fault in the software, an underlying software in our computers that could wipe us all out. Mysterious forces could take control of our computers.
Yeah, can you imagine when the viruses on the computer get airborne? We could all die.
This is a bigger threat than death in the subways. It's a little bit actually more defined than that.
Until someone dies in the subway.
But I'm in New York a lot, and I take that one train, you know, from the West Side down to Lincoln Center and the theaters there and the rest of it. I'm going to walk more often than
I know. My son and his fiance live there. I haven't called them yet and said, get out of the subway.
To ride your stationary bike down.
I could ride my stationary bike
down. All right, what else you have? And then we're going to move on.
I believe that's it.
Okay. Yeah, roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. roundtable@wamc.org. Well, if you were watching any media, sports, any news, you know that this story was as if it was written in the stars thousands of years ago. Here is this iconic ball player who never got into any trouble over 20 years, his final at-bat at Yankee Stadium. With the stage set, we welcome Ian Pickus, who is our resident Yankee fan.
And really loves Jeter.
Can you believe that this was not scripted?
It's just unbelievable. And just when you think the Yankees, who don't do understatement, have gone overboard maybe one degree too much, we get a reminder as to why we were celebrating this guy in the first place all year long. Just an unbelievable finish to a great ride. And Yankee broadcaster Michael Kay said last night, a lot of childhoods just kind of ended, and that's exactly how I feel this morning. Aww. It's the end of something.
If you happen to miss it, game on the line, game is tied. The man who will not don pinstripes anymore, his final game in the Bronx, Jeter comes up, knocks in the winning run on a walk-off. Just, it has to be Hollywood.
It really was. And then to have his former all three managers he played under in the same building, his former teammates, his current teammates, and really the eyes of the sport watching him for the last time, a guy who spent his life in the biggest pressure situations. He comes up in a game he shouldn't have even had a chance to bat in again because they had a 5-2 lead in the ninth inning. And one final Jeterian single to right field
Jeterian.
To win the game.
Nice. Nice adverb.
Jeterian. I like it.
But it became a word.
Here's the thing. The cynics would say, hey, when Maddle had his last at-bat, the pitcher, Lolich, I don't know who it was who was pitching to him, grooved like 7 fastballs in a row until Mantle hit one out. And I think he said to his catcher, he's got to hit it now or I'm going to get arrested for doing this. You don't think that there was anything at play behind the scenes
here? That was
here.
My question. Was it staged at all? Did the other guy go easy on him?
I don't see it. The Orioles are about to be in the playoffs. Buck Showalter was fired by this team, would love nothing more than to stick it to them. I think this was just one of those weird moments that we're going to remember, you know, the same as the calendar turning to November 1st and Jeter being in the batter's box and hitting a home run in the 2001 World Series, the same as a 11-year-old kid reaching over as so many 11-year-old kids would have in 96 to make a home run in the Division Series. Look, it was Hollywood. It was the moments that you spend 20 years celebrating in a guy's career. And for someone like me who goes back to Albany Colony, Heritage Park, Double A, Jeter, I've loved him since then. The fact that it's ending, it's tough to take, and he gave us one last moment last night, and it was incredible.
Well, look, you love the man, and we know that. You know your place in the newsroom is the news director is filled with Jeter memories.
Yeah. Shrine.
Yeah. Do you feel old now? Do you? In other words, when they tore Shea Stadium down, I said, "Well, now I'm old." They put Shea Stadium up.
No,
they
opened it. Passed over. I can always tell when somebody's passed over. Passed over. Well, passed over, Roselle and I agree, is that moment when you look at somebody who has been, fairly vibrant for a long time, and all of a sudden you say, uh-oh, that person. But I want to ask you, before you got involved in that, I wanted to ask you a question, which was, if he appeared here just for some reason, and you had a chance to talk to him for a moment, what's your question? What's your comment to him? What would you say to him?
I've thought about this a lot, actually, more than I care to admit.
Uh-huh. And,
first of all, I would just thank him for such an enjoyable career. I
mean, thank you for your service.
For a fan, this guy, he's not Babe Ruth. A lot of people this week have been pointing that out. Who is? He's got the 6 most hits ever. I mean, the amount of moments he's given you as a baseball fan. The thing I've always wondered about Derek Jeter. Is how aware he was of his own place, because all of this chatter has been going on around him. He's bad in the shortstop hole. His defense isn't that good. He played on high payroll teams. When we look at the short list of the greatest Yankees ever, he's now in the conversation.
Absolutely.
With Mantle, DiMaggio, Gehrig. When did he see himself entering that kind
of
pantheon?
Does he? Is he modest enough not to see that?
He needs to play it that way, whether he is or not. We don't know.
He's acted.
He has played the PR game spectacularly well. Classic.
I wanted to mention one other thing. It's so interesting to see how our concept... Jeter is a good representative of how our cultural norms have changed. So, for example, he has a lot of girlfriends. In the old days, that might have been bad about people. But unlike Alex Rodriguez... Mm-hmm. Who also had girlfriends, Jeter didn't do the things that we consider to be bad these days, steroids or those other things. At least nobody's ever accused him that I've seen of
no,
that.
No, he's been clean.
So things have changed.
I'm not sure that having a lot of girlfriends was ever considered a bad thing.
No, DiMaggio and all the home,
DiMaggio?
As Ralph Kiner
DiMaggio
famously
was in love
said,
with Marilyn.
The home run hitters get all the ladies way back when. This goes back to the beginning of baseball. So I don't think that counts at this point. My question for you is...
Well, that's a little too dismissive for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Not too bad.
because I do think there have been changes in the way in which we see things, in which the society sees things. But all right, that's enough.
All right, so my question before we let you leave this fun little fun fest we're having, Ian. William Bendix infamously played Babe Ruth in a movie. Who plays Jeter in the movie? Because... Hey, his 3,000th hit was a home run, if you recall. Last night was almost a scripted event. A Hollywood writer could not imagine it better. Who plays Jeter in the movie?
Well, I've got my reel. I'll send it in.
That's a cop out.
Yeah, but
play himself.
What do you think?
He's
Ray?
Cute enough.
About who should play Jeter in the movie?
Yeah.
No idea.
Yeah.
I'm a Mets fan.
Yeah. Jeter
who's going to play the Ed Crane Pool story? That's what I want to know.
Kid Crane Pool.
He has been
who says most
the,
people
the glamour to play himself.
Yeah,
he's been the Hollywood star the whole way through.
Okay, does he get in? He gets in on the first ballot. Is it a unanimous vote?
I don't
in the
think
Hall of
so.
Fame?
You know, you're looking at a guy who never won an MVP award. People have loved to undercut his greatness with their votes. You know, he's faced a lot of backlash. I think some of it. Probably not earned, but I don't think they'll get in unanimously.
Isn't it true that there a lot of the sports writers are just jerks and do that just because they are jerks?
Yeah, I think so. No one's ever gotten in unanimously, and no, that is like the one piece of power sports writers hold over this thing.
Yeah,
so they do like to, Tom Seaver.
He was
Tom
the closest.
Seaver is the greatest pitcher, maybe in the 20th century, and he didn't get in unanimously.
Yeah, 98%.
It's not right. It's not right. And it's sort of pathetic that these people are pathetic.
All right, now we've ended it on a negative note.
I got to go
note.
Book my hotel for Cooperstown in 5 years from now, guys.
I think that's a safe bet. Ian Pickus, thank you very much for being here, and congratulations on now being old.
It's official.
No, he hasn't crossed over.
I'll be happy to talk about my love for Jeter for the rest of the time. I have a feeling I'll be doing it anyway.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot, man. We appreciate it. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Let's take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Kent Hicks Construction, West Chesterfield, Massachusetts, specializing in energy-efficient, net-zero, passive house, home building, deep energy retrofits, and historical restorations serving western Massachusetts. KentHicksConstruction.com. And NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Friday morning, a beautiful Friday morning. It is 9:49. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, and yours truly, Ray Graff. The email address here, roundtable@wamc.org. The FBI director is criticizing the decision by Apple and Google to encrypt smartphone data so it can be inaccessible to law enforcement with a court order. James Comey told reporters at FBI headquarters that U.S. officials are in talks with the two companies. He accuses them of letting people put themselves beyond the law's reach. He cited child kidnapping and terrorism cases as two examples of situations where quick access by authorities to cell phone data can save lives. Apple and Google announced last week that their new operating systems will be encrypted or rendered in code by default. Law enforcement could still intercept conversations, but might not be able to access call data, contacts, photos, and email stored on the phone. Rosemary, I give you first crack.
First crack. Okay, this is a great story for us because we're always talking about the balance between safety, security on one side, and privacy on the other. So people have gone nuts that NSA was intercepting their email, listening in on their phones. Upset that was completely righteous and justified. So technology has responded by coming up with phones that you cannot break into. Good thing, you would think, except the FBI points out, hey, we're not NSA, we're not the military, we actually do get subpoenas, we actually do keep you safe with this, and now you've done a technological thing here that shuts us out, even if you have a subpoena.
At this moment, it shuts them out.
Yes. I mean, I think we're going to see some change. That's my answer. Right now, even with a subpoena, police cannot listen in on criminals. They cannot do essentially wiretaps. They cannot get information that's on a phone.
So they say.
Uh-huh. You think they're lying. Well, Alan, you have the conspiracy theory.
You and I talked about this yeah. morning. And where is that line between privacy and security?
Well, I don't think there's much doubt that in most societies, people will always go for security over privacy. They shouldn't, but they do. And, you know, they don't want to die. They don't want, stuff put into their water.
Fluoride? What do you mean?
Well, no, not like fluoride.
Okay.
You know, like something terrible. I mean, I know that after 9/11, there were a lot of people around the reservoirs making sure that nobody was throwing anything
true
in
enough.
There.
True enough.
And like that. So I do think people tend to go towards the security. But as Rosemary has pointed out so many times, that's when they get you. That's when, you know, it goes over the line from a sort of open society to a closed society.
Right.
That's the problem. Right.
So how far then should encryption be able to go?
Well, I don't know. You know, I know that we have something else to talk about in the lightning round here, and that is, and I know Megan is here to give us...
So you're pushing me along, then?
No. Well, the other thing that we're talking about is the idea that, you know, you miss a payment on a car, and some guy can turn off your car.
Yeah, Megan, what do you think about that?
Well, it hasn't happened to me yet, I'll tell you that. I made my car payment.
Let's get our update on the lockbox, and then we'll talk about this. I think it's a horrible story about cars being able to be turned off. But first, we welcome Megan Finnegan, and the lockbox challenge. I don't know if you know this, but the lockbox challenge is still going on.
It is.
Until Monday the 6th, when we kick off the fun drive. Status report.
So noblesse oblige, you know, and we all know it's going on, and all the rest of this guy. I'm biting my nails. I can't sleep at night. I'm worried that we're not going to make it. But go ahead, Megan.
I really think we're going to make it. It's going gangbusters now. We've got 10 days left. We have $225,698 in there so far. So we need another 74.
Okay.
Put another way, I would just correct your statement a little bit. You said we have so much. I would say only. I put only.
We only have $225,000. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And if everybody, you know, if everybody said, well, she'll do it or he'll do it or my neighbor will do it, the ones you talk to at the cocktail parties say, you know, I listen to WAMC all the time and you know what they say over there, you know, and you know what I heard. Now you got to walk the walk.
Yeah, and if you've never heard us speak of this, the deal is we have to reach 300,000, right?
Yes.
By the beginning of the fund drive, which is Monday, October 6th, 6 a.m.
Palpitations.
If we do that, there's challenge on the table.
We'll get a total of $30,000 extra dollars for our master control updates.
Okay, and so to do that, we got to raise 300. We have 74, did you say?
We got 74 to go.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Oh, boy.
About 10 days to do it.
1-800-323-9262. Extension 0. Just hit 0. Somebody will talk to you, okay?
Right.
Or 1-800-323-9262 or WAMC.org and just click on the lockbox. You're done.
Everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing
it's
it.
The
They're
thing to
all
do.
Doing it now.
Well, Megan, this
I better
was
get a, back to my desk.
It was a great pleasure having you here.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks so much.
And thanks for weighing in
and
on the
thanks
whole
to everybody who's pledging.
Turning cars off. That was nice.
That was good.
Nice to have your angle on that. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. In the few minutes we have remaining, a shocking, to me, a shocking story, and I guess there are millions of these situations already, and I just didn't know about it. This was in the New York Times, the blog yesterday. Miss a payment? Good luck moving that car. The thermometer showed a 103.5 degree fever, and her 10-year-old's asthma was flaring up. Mary Bollander, who lives in Vegas, needed to get her daughter to an emergency room, but her 2005 Chrysler van would not start. The cause was not a mechanical problem. It was her lender. So those who engage in subprime auto lending now have a device, and apparently there are millions of these, that if you miss a payment, if you're a few days late, they can turn your car off remotely. Isn't that terrifying?
It's terrifying, it's bad news, and it shouldn't be done.
And I disagree. I think this is happening to people who would not otherwise get loans for cars. And she does get a loan, even though she doesn't qualify, and she doesn't pay back.
Is that the case? You read the story?
And in fact, this sob story that we begin with, come on, dial 0 on your phone. Her phone still works. And get an ambulance there. That kid is not going to die. And if she... I mean, she agreed to this deal. You make the payment or we shut off your car.
Wait a second.
And if you read about the company, if you read about the company, they do make allowances for privacy. They are careful not to ever shut off a car when you're actually driving it. So isn't this an innovative way to get cars into the hands of people who cannot afford them?
No, it stinks. I agree with you. If you make a loan, if the banks are loaning people money who can't possibly pay it, or if you're buying a car, that's bad news. But I don't like it on general principles, GP, that somebody can sit there and just turn your car off from a different place. Ray, what do you think?
Well, I think it's potentially dangerous if you are...
Yes,
How do they know whether you're driving the car?
Because it's the same technology that allows them to turn off the car. They can tell what you're doing. There's a lot of discussion about that in the article. I think it's innovative.
Did you read further on about the repo man who has a computer screen
yeah.
and he sees the locations of all of these vehicles?
That's not good.
Any GPS, you can do the same. That's what we were just talking about. The police can do that with your cell phone. Even if it's turned off, they can tell
where
you are.
Wait a second. There's a big difference between the police. Come on, Rosemary.
And here's another thing. We're not talking about us. No, I would not like for my car to be turned off.
Indeed.
I would hate it.
That's why I pay cash, by the way.
It won't happen to us. It's going to happen to people who have been cut out of the car market.
But what if you are 2 or 3 days late? Should there not be a grace period?
I believe if you read the story, there is a grace period. And this woman with the sick kid in the emergency, she goes, oh, I turned on my phone. Oh, there really were a lot of calls from the lender. She had ignored them. So don't feel sorry for her. I think this is very nicely written, makes you feel really sorry for the family. But if you read all the circumstances, her own fault.
I don't agree with you.
Wow.
These people are vicious. You know, we bought a phone in another place at one point, and every time I come into that place, there are about seven calls from lenders for the last person who had the call.
Yes,
I call him back and I say, you.
It's not the same. I mean, this is a country where we allowed people who should not have gotten mortgages to take out mortgages.
That's the problem.
And we saw what happened. And we allowed it, yes.
So will there be a subprime auto bubble?
I don't think so, because they can shut off and get their car back again. If we had something like your key doesn't work in your house, if you weren't paying the bill, maybe we would not have collapsed the economy.
I'm sure that's coming.
Oh, boy.
All right,
boy. Now you've said it.
You know, this was a fun-filled hour, and I appreciate you all being here at times. Okay. I think so. Rosemary Armeo, have a great weekend. Enjoy the concert.
I shall.
Start to get ready to be on the air during the
Sunday.
Sunday. And
I'm going to the Guthrie Center on Saturday to hear Sally Jane.
And that'll be a fun show as well.
Oh, it's going
to
be great.
And I will clean up stuff at the house and rake.
Gutters.
And yeah, fun. Just good times.
Bring out that couch.
Well, all right. Roundtable@WAMC.org is the email address. Lovely to have you all with us. And we'll take a break. And then there's another hour. And then one after that. So stick around.